Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. I'd like to salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'd like to thank everyone for showing up. On the agenda, we have public comments to the public. Anybody that has public comment, please stand and state your name, please.
Bill Ayer, McFarland Drive. I just would like to get an update on what is new with the speed limit.
I don't have any update on that, other than we are going to purchase one this year.
One or two?
One this year, before June. One before June, one after June.
Okay.
But nothing else. Okay. Approval gained by the state?
For placement, no. We haven't gone there yet.
Is there any idea when you will?
As soon as we... Yeah, we'll be working on that. We just passed the budget 2 weeks ago. We just decided to buy them 2 weeks ago, so.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, moving on. Approve the minutes of the previous meetings, March 12th, 2014, the board meeting, March 18th, 2014, the special meeting. Comments? On the board?
Make a motion to approve as written.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Approve the treasurer's report, February 2014 and March 2014.
Make a motion to approve the February's report and the March.
Here a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Correspondence, reports, the Highway Department. Bob, did you want to do anything? Or?
Sure. Well, I met with Tony and Jay on Tuesday morning and went over what things they've been working on. They've been filling potholes, repaired the sander. Brought in some crusher run, repaired some catch basins, repaired the backhoe, put a new edge on the bucket, repaired some side mirrors on the International, and getting ready to rake, or they're starting to rake and pick up trash now that the snow's gone. So that's pretty much what we're looking at. I had a nice conversation with them, and hopefully we're off to a good start, and should go good.
Thanks, Bob. Water Department?
Tony and Jerry worked on a water leak on 30 Church Street. I believe the sidewalk still isn't repaired, but the weather is getting better and we repaired the sidewalk. Fire hydrant at the pond is back in service. Chlorinated well number 2 for raw sampling, and we have just started our second quarter water sampling. For the year 2014-15, and if everybody's aware, they got their annual water report with their water bill. They should have got it in the water bill. If not, there's more copies available. But that was approved by the county and sent to the state. And that's it.
Thank you. Police Department.
Officer Jones filed a written report. There were 120 incidents investigated, 7 arrests, 90 traffic tickets issued, and the details are in the written report. Unit 602, the 2007 Chevy Tahoe, has 78,400 miles on it. Unit 603, the 2011 Ford Crown Victoria, has 20,100 miles. Relatively quiet month. Officer Jones and Cipperly completed their New York State Department of Criminal Justice Services instructor development course, which allows them to participate in field training for recruits. Recruits Restifo and Menudo completed their training in the academy. They graduate tomorrow. The ceremony is tomorrow. They have begun their field training this month. They have to complete 160 hours. They don't get paid for any of that. Officer Jones, Bunny, Cipriani, Colano, and Fuchs will be conducting their training. We had an open house with the department on March 14th here at Village Hall. There were a number of activities. We issued ID kits to kids. There was some presentation of data and statistics from the department. We had a meet and greet with the officers and the tour of the department. And as always, K-9 Yazoo was a big hit with the attendees. We even had a family from East Greenbush come to visit, which was interesting. So they got to meet the officers too. And a couple of crews from Nassau Ambulance were by as well. I want to thank all the officers and the youth committee for helping to put the event on. I think it was pretty successful, and we look forward to doing it every year.
That's all I have. Thanks. Dave?
We'll talk about, during the whole business about the Cumberland Farms project and also
okay.
about the survey of Alter, but I can wait until we get
okay.
into
okay. Thank you. Again, trustees, Bob?
Nothing further.
Lori?
Nothing at this time.
Brandon?
Just want to welcome Bob.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. they all have to do with the intersection of Elm and Church. There's three specific things. One, it's been reported to me a couple times just this week, in fact, that people are concerned that there's a lack of any striping down at the end of Elm Street, so that we have no crosswalk there any longer. There was one at one point. There's also no lane divider any longer when you're going southbound on Elm Street. So there's a sign that says right turn only, but there's no lane divider to point people, and they're concerned about that. So I'm not sure whose problem that is, if that's our issue or if it's the state's because it's right in the intersection. I'm not sure, but we should figure something out, especially with the crosswalk, because that's a safety issue. Second, on that same corner, as the board is aware, there's been an ongoing issue with parking on the sidewalk, which is illegal, and also parking next to the fire hydrant that's on the corner. I had a chance to speak with the property owner, Norm Young, and he is willing to work with the village to demarcate a sidewalk in front of his property with simply the lines. We had talked about just marking off with some lines. He's happy to do that so that it can be, more easily determine where the sidewalk was. Again, giving his willingness to do that and our willingness to try to solve this problem, I think we should follow up on that. But we need to work that out with Norm. The other thing is on this corner of Elm and Church, I think we should do some long-range consideration of reconfiguring that corner to be more conventional. Right now, the corner is cut at an angle. So what happens is it makes it, it's less safe for pedestrian traffic because the street ends up being very wide at that. So when you want to walk across Elm Street, it's a big gap to walk across, so it's dangerous. The other thing is for vehicles that are turning right from Church Street onto Elm Street, a lot of people don't stop at that red light, and they'll just cut it because it looks like the street kind of cuts off before the red light. So people cut through that little area, that jog, and they go 30 miles an hour around there, and there are people who, not only pedestrians, but there's people parked there who are trying to get into their car. I think we need to think about that. If we extend it, for example, the one option is to extend the corner on Church Street out 15, 20 feet so that it squares off with Elm Street to make it more conventional. That would also allow there's some area that would be curbed off that's now part of the street that we could even think about, since it is village property anyway, making municipal parking. You could at least open up a couple parking spots there that might be helpful for the business district down there. Anyway, since I was down there talking to Norm, these things came up. So I think we should take do some serious consideration of that weird kind of dangerous, unconventional intersection. Again, we'd have to work with the state on that because it's obviously two state roads there. But we should think about that. The other thing, I just want to make sure that people remember the issue on the sidewalk on 24 Malden Street. I brought this up a couple meetings ago. needs to be fixed. It looks like we've fixed it before with some hydraulic cement, but it really needs to be, the sidewalk needs to be taken out, and fill needs to be put in there properly so that it drains and doesn't end up in the guy's house. And there are other places in the other places around the village that the sidewalks are in pretty tough shape. So we should just make make some notes about that and fix those.
Next on the agenda is the mayor. I don't have anything at this point. Clerk?
Actually, I just want to say that the first water billing went out. I know a few people didn't receive theirs. They just recently got it. But if you don't have it and you want to come in, I'll bring another copy for you.
Okay. Code enforcement, I have a list from Gary throughout the month. He's done various things for coding. Contacted the owner of the old cider mill on Lake Avenue, the demolition. He did some periodic inspection checks. Let me see what else. There's been some interest with Mr. Adebeck, builders, about the historic district, asking questions. He didn't elaborate on what was going on there. The other thing was the zoning board concerning the Cumberland Farms. And that's pretty much it. There's been various people throughout the village with questions on permits for various properties also. Next is the animal patrol officer. I did talk to Mr. Martell. He didn't have any issues except for the other day where he was called to try to control and gather up a chicken by stewards. He was unable to do that, and that was about the only thing he was able to do through the village.
Can I ask a question? Does he pick up cats, generally, do you know?
He has nothing to do with the cats.
So he doesn't pick up a dead cat if it's on there?
Somewhere? Oh, yeah, he will.
Okay,
yeah.
Because we had a resident call, and just help me out, Missy. Did she call Paul?
The end result was
Tony went out and disposed of the cat.
Oh, okay.
But I just want to verify if he does pick up.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so we'll know that.
Mm-hmm.
Tony took care of it, but...
Right.
Okay. Village Beautification Committee and Historic Preservation Commission.
So the monthly financial report was submitted by Kurt. The balance is $3,719.60. And their meetings will resume this month, Wednesday, April 16th, at 7 p.m. here at the Village Hall, and everybody is welcome to attend.
Okay. Youth Committee.
The Youth Committee has been very busy stuffing Easter eggs for the upcoming Easter egg hunt. This event is taking place on Saturday, April 12th at 11 a.m. at the Village Commons. So if you have kids, bring the 5 minutes in. The Youth Committee is also assisted with the Police Department open house last month, providing fingerprint kits and honorary police badges to the kids. We've also been working with Fred McCagg and the Town Youth Committee with several Kids Nature Nature Clubs club events, which are being held monthly at the Town Hall. And Guy is wearing the bracelet that we did yesterday with the Nature Kids Club event. And we are also collaborating with Fred on basketball nights at DPS. We did two, I want to say, was it February?
February.
And they were highly successful. I mean, we were getting 25 to 35 kids at these events. There are two upcoming basketball nights, April 22nd and May 6th, and they are from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And basically, DPS gives us their entire floor, and kids play games, you know, do toss hoops, do everything. The next Youth Committee meeting is Wednesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Village Hall, and the meeting It's open to the public, and all are encouraged to attend.
Thank you. Zoning Board of Appeals?
No report.
Okay. Planning Board? No? Master Plan Update Committee?
Our big news this month is that with your water bill, hopefully you should have received a public opinion survey. We're trying to just give a public input on how people feel about the state of the village on various topics. So if you didn't get a copy of that, and please let me know, or we have hard copies here. It's also a link to a electronic version of the survey on the village's homepage. The other news is that tomorrow night here at 7 o'clock, as well as Monday, April 21st, at the same time, same place, we are having a public information session / open house to, again, update the kind of inform the public on what this process is and what we hope to achieve through this process, as well as open the floor to public comments. And also, there will be an informal kind of question and answer one-on-one or group small group discussion.
Thanks.
I'd also like to say there'll be light refreshments.
Oh, yeah.
So, even if you just come for some food, it's good.
Next on the agenda is the old business, the Route 20 corridor update. I received a phone call just the other day from a contractor who just got the award from the state for repaving the Route 20 corridor through the village. He told me that the start of this action is going to be June 14th of this year. So we are one of the first ones to start as far as getting repaving. He did say that it would be, he would like to see that the board would consider and seriously look at, because he has been in the past, and I believe Bob would know the same person or the company, for the CHIPS program to upgrade all the streets within the village. He said that with this contract that there's a possibility, because the equipment is here, that he could really give a good price during the repaving of not only Route 20, but also some of the streets throughout the village. So I told him that he's going to coordinate it with Tony, and I've also mentioned it to Bob. He knows that he's going to have to, bid the job, but he thought that, with his equipment being here and doing Route 20, it would be beneficial for the village to seriously look at them. So, June 14th of this year.
And the contractor's name is?
I think it's Hudson River.
Yeah, it's Hudson River.
No, I was, Guy was talking about the intersection down there, so, I mean, at Elm Street, they're going to be redoing pavements. I mean, I don't know.
Well, again, I guess it'll be up to the engineers of the state that'll oversee the contractors
from the road. Or?
I don't know. Maybe Bob would know, from the past.
Well, I'd have a right of way, and I know we looked at this before with Norm, and we're going to have to sit down and discuss this because Norm wanted some things done that, one of the issues was is that when you bring it out, he wanted to have perpendicular parking to his building, which means they're backing out into Elm Street,
mm-hmm.
and that was no go.
Right.
So that's why he ended up with the two parallel parking slots that he doesn't like, and they just drive over and park next to the building anyway. But and there would have to be some kind of design for the state to look at before they allowed you to do it. So we'd have to get some engineering done, show them what we want to do, and so it's. It's something we need to work on if we want to seriously consider it, but we could do it. But
when I grew up, they did park in the main road. That's why it was cut that way. Probably four cars parked along there. That's the way it's always been, at an angle. And the cars did have to back out into the highway when the soda shed was there or whatever before it. It was always that way, and it was parking.
But the last time we did a project there for Elm Street, we looked at that, and the state told us that we could not set up that kind of parking.
Oh, I agree, but I'm just saying, years ago, you know, that's a long time ago, it wasn't that way.
Okay. Next is shared services. I haven't contacted Dave Flemings. I will this week to try to continue to set up a meeting with the town.
We need to replace Heather on our committee. We have a shared services committee. It was you, I, and Heather.
Okay.
We need to identify or appoint another person to replace Heather.
Okay. You don't want to do it tonight?
No, I'm just making mention that you need to do that.
The propane tank for the new generator.
Yeah, I reached out to a number of propane suppliers and tank suppliers. You guys got the quotes in front of you. Long Energy did quote us a price to put for the tank and fees to install the regulators and piping to the new generator. I asked them for quoting us a price for a tank because another company wouldn't sell us a tank unless we buried it. And once we rent a tank from a company, we're locked into buying propane from them. So it would be worth to us to purchase the tank outright, then we can go under state contract or get a cheaper price. Because if you see on Long Energy, their price was $3.259 per gallon, and Bob just handed me a price from Ferrellgas that was a lot less than that. So I think it would be worth it to us to purchase the tank outright and then get the lowest state contractor price. But Long Energy gave us prices for two regulators, the copper tubing at $4.95 per foot, and to dig the trench, but they also charged $145 per hour for one man, but didn't give me a total price for the piping feet-wise. So I'm kind of, don't know exactly what their price would be until they came out. And again, let's see. John Ray wouldn't sell us the tank unless we buried it, so I was kind of thinking they were kind of out of the loop. Fossinella Fuels, very informative, called me back several times, asked questions. They gave us a price of $34.90 for the total package, and it didn't say whether how many feet, so I'm thinking that's going to be the total price. And then Main Care gave us a price of $35.19, but their quota says to include trenching, but then they also put comments the customer will do trenching. So apparently the $34.19 is their bottom line. The only thing I don't understand is we may say, well, Long Energy may be the cheapest, but we don't know until the piping goes in. My opinion, after talking to all these, the person that I felt more comfortable with and gave me a direct quote was Fossinella Fuel. And I know the ambulance purchased their tank from Fossinella, correct?
We did. Yes, we did.
And you had no problems with them?
No, they came and they set it up. They put all the piping in. They retested the system. Did a fine job.
They're not like outside the back door, but they're down in they're close. But
yeah, they're down around.
In my opinion, I think if we should go with Fossinella Fuels to purchase the tank and then do the pipe and then do a quick fill so we can run the generator and then purchase the propane from the cheapest.
So will Ferrellgas?
Ferrellgas didn't even give me a quote.
Oh, okay.
Because
they supply propane.
But they supply propane.
Supply in something that's not their tank.
Okay.
Yeah.
We buy it from them.
Oh, all right.
But it's just, they didn't know if they were going to do state contract again.
Whether it's state contract or the county has a contract too.
But I didn't even get a quote from them. So, I don't know. I think I touched base with six people and we got three good ones.
So
they didn't put our tank in either. So, but
And the thing is you're better off owning a tank, because if you just switch companies, then you don't have to, you have to pump the tank out, you have to get a credit, you have, then they have to swap them, refill them. It's just better if you own your own tank. And anybody who's got the state contract, as long as, because we're a municipality, we can just request to be on the list and they'll fill you up. And the amount we're going to use is minimal, because the only thing it's going to fuel is the generator. So.
Right. It's going to run once a, but, like I said, Pocinello, I think will be the company that I personally would recommend to the board after talking to them all. But I also told them that they would have to coordinate with D.A. Stevens, have them come out and exactly place the tank, and that our guys would level the ground, so they were willing to come out, and the closer we got to installation of the generator, which is 5 to 6 weeks out, the generator, but it's already been 2 weeks, so I'm thinking next 4 weeks the generator should be ready to go.
You got to put a pad down, right?
No, we're going to put crusher run down, and Fosnello said we could just put two by two cement
mud blocks
on the crusher run. He said a pad not necessary. He told me
we have a pad.
Yeah.
I would rather have a pad.
Well, yeah, you have more room to put a pad through.
I mean, the tank of propane is fairly heavy, so if it does compact and start to shift or something, it is nicer to have a pad. But they don't require them, so.
But you also got a place where you can put it. We're kind of restricted to the.
It just goes under the tank, so whatever, just gotta, form it up, and I mean, it's only like a 4 or 6 inch pad, so, but whatever.
Okay. You all set, Randy?
Yeah, so I don't know what you want to do, if you want to.
Well, I mean,
we don't need a resolution.
No, you don't need a resolution. It says half down, 40% on start, and balance on completion.
For Pocinello.
For Pocinello, yeah. So.
We did that.
Okay. Yeah. So then. Call them back.
Okay, I'll give them D.A. Stevens' number and coordinate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tony and Jay would be. Tony, we tried to get Tony and Jay to pour a pad, and they just didn't. It's got to be a 16 by 6 pad or something, a 20 by 6 pad. It's
probably 20 foot long and.
By 6 feet wide.
Nah, it's not that wide. It's probably 4, though.
Yeah.
3 to 4 feet, probably.
Yeah.
I forget what ours was, but. 6 inch. So you got, 4 times 20, 80, half. Yeah, it's only a little over a yard of concrete, so.
Yeah, I guess that's going to be something we have to decide as crushers. I mean, everyone said we need a pad, anyone, but that's going to be a decision we have to make soon, then, if they want to put a pad or not. And Tony and Jay wouldn't be doing that. They're not comfortable in doing that, so we would have to put a bid out of some proposal. Or I probably can't even put some distant quotes. But whatever the board wants, if they want me to call around and get quotes, I will. I don't know. Up to you guys. your opinion. Do you want a crusher run, or do we want to put a pad down?
It's easier to do it now.
I'd put a pad down.
I agree with Bob.
Why don't you just call around and get places?
Anybody got any suggestions? Anybody local? Anybody have any local contractors?
Any people to the firehouse?
What did you?
Well, who did ours? Well, Walt Weiss did. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody has any contractors? You can let Missy know, and I'll call them. And if local contractors or whatever, I'll call them. So, I guess Walt Weiss. John, do you know somebody else or somebody?
Walt Weiss.
I need three, though, right? Probably three people.
I don't know. It's not going to be a big job. It's only a few hundred dollars.
A couple hundred dollars.
All right. No, I don't need three guys.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Randy.
All
right. So the handicapped parking lot. We went over that.
So do we have any discussion? We didn't hear anything until the comment.
I don't have any discussion.
So these will be marked? I mean some of the handicapped spots around here aren't properly. I mean, they're not visible. Will these be remarked?
If they're in accordance with the state law, then they will be eligible to have the increased
Right, but I know when I pull into the post office, it's, you know, hard to delineate. When you wheel in there, where is that handicap? But I'm just saying...
But we're not responsible to mark them.
No, we're not, but I'm just saying, you know, are we going to...
Right.
Maybe...
The only thing that this law does is it increases the fines from where they are to this number. Delineated the same way as they are now,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of the reasons why we didn't go through having a local handicap law, because then we'd have to define all those things, and it became a little too cumbersome. From what we really want to do is discourage people from using those, and hopefully this will discourage them, because they don't, apparently the fines don't discourage them that.
All right, well, I'll
take them. We had a list, and we were initially looking at this.
Yeah.
We had a list of the businesses that we wanted to impact, and we thought it was better just to piggyback on top of the state law.
That's right.
But maybe if we have that list, Missy or someone could do a letter just saying, you know, if we pass it tonight, here's a copy of local law, we're bumping the fines, this might be a time to restripe, and,
right.
you know, because it really is up to this. You got to have it clearly marked in order to make it happen. It might be just a nudge to people to sort of... make it clear where their spots are. Sorry.
Well, I make a motion that we adopt local law number 1 of 2014.
Second.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Next under old business is the meeting policies and procedures.
So, I guess I'll do this one. This was a table discussion from the annual meeting. Last May, we put together a set of policies, updated the policies we had at the time for meeting procedures and preparation. And so we're going to reiterate those for 2014-15. There were two things that changed. Or that I would suggest would change. Basically, for the public comment portion of our meetings, the suggestion was to reiterate the rules of the public comment every meeting. So that was that part. And then there are some in the original, if you look at the old copies, there are some question marks and notations in the departmental reports, so I just cleaned those up a little bit. Basically, they're the same. And the reason why we did this to begin with, just to jog everybody's memory, there are three main reasons. One was we want to have more timely preparation of the meeting materials so that board members were able to discuss in an informed way and consider matters that come before the board. And so the idea was to have tentative agendas available the Monday... two Mondays before the meeting, and then you know you can add things and everything like that. Final agendas to be established on the Friday before the meeting, so that would have been last Friday for this meeting, for example, with the obvious exceptions of emergencies and things that come up in between. So that it's this, you have this time issue. The other thing is increasing accountability to the folks that put us in these positions. And one of the things that to highlight this in these policies is that any department or board or anything that expends taxpayer dollars should have to have a report every month to show what they're doing with those dollars. That's very important. People expect that these days, and so we should do that. I also, and we haven't yet been able to do this, I think we should have those reports available on our website too. The other thing, let's see. Oh, the other reason why we did this is this also established the audio recordings that we do for our meetings as well. And I've gotten great feedback on those. People listen to those, so that's great. So, I mean, it's really just reiterating what we had passed last year. I don't know if anybody had questions. I know there were some confusion.
I have questions. Do I take my seat down to the floor? Because Missy has her own special slot, but no one's built a special slot for me. I mean, I don't mind sitting down there. Just, you know, do you want to just move my chair down there after you pass this?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll be down on the floor.
I just had one question. Under the monthly reports in the water department, you got written report on monthly water use over the previous 12 months and test results. Is that my annual water report? Or do you?
Well, I know that you you do. Tony collects the information on water usage
right.
every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And so right now you put that into on a piece of paper and it gets stuck in a file. And nobody knows what it is.
No,
ever.
It gives a report at the end of the year.
At the end of the year, right.
Right, okay.
So, you know, why shouldn't that just be available to people? And maybe we talked about it and we're going to do that. We're going to have, you know, make that an electronic file that can just be updated very easily.
So, just for the previous 12 months, you want a monthly report handed out to the people?
So it's a...
And every test result to the people? Or you just want it on file in the village... here where people can see.
Hand it out to the people.
Well, I mean, written report on monthly, because you said you want everybody to know.
Yeah,
I'm just
so everyone should have should know what's happening. They should know the tests. I mean, we get these every, you get them all the time, Randy. People go, well, what are the tests done? Or, you know, what are the results? And they don't know. And you hear it all the time. And I you know,
what you meant by it.
Right.
Okay.
So. Would it be a problem?
Well,
it wouldn't be a problem.
I'm just asking you, do you want me to mention every month how much water we use in the village? You would like me to mention that?
It would be nice to have a running tally of how much water has been used and over the past 12 months so we can see what's happening. I mean, now, you know, we've seen that we're using, at this point, twice as much water as we were just a few years ago. I mean, why? I don't know. I don't know why. Shouldn't we, you know?
Where do you get twice as much? Okay. Just wanted to know. Fine. No problem.
Will it be a problem for you to do that?
I have no problem, guys.
Is it going to be a problem for anyone to do anything on this list?
I've got some, you know, I've been rereading this all day today, and you know, you've got a lot of timelines, you know, for the clerk to do. You got Wednesdays after the meeting. My only concern is that, you know, I think that you know, we have one person, which is the village clerk. You know, we've put into the budget where, you know, we can bring on board a deputy clerk. And I strongly feel that, you know, before we make any kind of resolution based on this, is that we bring a second person on board so there's more than one person that can help the village clerk as it is. I know that you know, there's been demands by Lori, and I'm sure there's been demands by other people on the board in addition to her daily activities. And I just feel that you know by placing these timelines is that, you know, it's going to be set up for failure for one person. And I'm hoping that we can bring another person on board, you know, to assist the clerk, whether it be Missy or somebody else, so we can report these times in a timely manner and stay within your suggestions. And I just think it's fair, because there's times that Lori would come in and she would request information from the village clerk in addition to what she's doing. And it might be that same time frame where stuff has to be posted and reports have to be done and forwarded on to the rest of the board. Thanks, John.
So you can hear
us. Okay. And I'm concerned about that. And, you know, there is time to do all this. You know, I think that we should take the time, bring somebody else on board. I know that there's been people that have put in for the job that some of the board members didn't want because they opted for a better resume, for a lack of a better term. So, and I'm in agreement with that. You know, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of good people out there. We've increased the pay starting in June. So I would really like to see that, you know, we could do the related suggestions as Guy has proposed to the board. But I would caution that, you know, this between now and then is going to be very difficult. It is difficult for the clerk right now. So if we can get two people to do this, especially because there's more hours with the deputy clerk, correct?
After June, yes.
Yes, so.
Well, then may I suggest that we revisit the vacancy announcement that we have, put some more detail into it as what type of skill sets we're looking for, and then post it and get some applicants.
Well, I thought that we did that.
It was a very generic vacancy announcement. It didn't go into any type of skill set that you were looking for in an office person. So I think if we identify the skill sets that we're looking for, that you would get the people that have that. Right now we received the three, I believe it was, last time? Three people?
Yes.
Sure. And I think we mentioned this quite some
time. And some of the people that put in for it were business people that own their own business. And there was rejection on board that they didn't have enough office experience. So I don't know how much is too much for deputy clerk for X amount of hours per week or month. But the clerk right now definitely needs another person to help out, because there are demands, you know, and you know yourself, you're here most of the time.
I am.
All right?
Yeah.
And you request a lot of further information from the clerk in addition to her daily duties.
Well, not just
her,
but...
Yeah, I try to do my own.
I work for everybody on the board, and I help out with some of the planning boards. I mean, there's a lot of tasks to be done, and I do the best I can. An additional person would help. I've been working as a one-man team for the last year, so, I mean, it would be helpful to have the deputy clerk. It would make it easier to accomplish these additional requirements.
But I just want to put in that there's nothing additional here.
From last year, but as you've already pointed out, most of them have not been met, or I do the best I can to meet them, but it has been pointed out on several occasions that these timelines are not being met right now. I mean, I do the best I can, but it's not the... I mean, there's a lot going on every day. It's not just that.
Right, but I don't want anyone to get the impression that these are additional. These are the duties that were here before. I mean, this is getting, you know, agenda to get, you know, sending out a draft agenda on a certain day doesn't seem to me to be something that is additional. I mean, that's been the clerk's job for ever since the clerk's been the clerk.
And I do send it out, whether it be 2 days ago or today. It still had six changes just today alone. So I don't understand that. I mean, we can follow this, and there's rules on it that need to be followed, but there's still going to be change. I was printing the agenda again with a change at 2 o'clock today, so.
I think Laurie's got the right idea. You know, why should we break what's your hurry rule and take the time, revisit the job description for mm-hmm. deputy clerk, and try to get the right person to help the village clerk. And then once that happens, then we can move forward with, you know, the suggestions. I know it's been approved, you know, last year, but I just think that, you know, Guy has presented this, and to me, it's a, you know, you've been placed on notice, that type of thing, where, you know, you got five business days, you've got this, you've got that, And I just think it's unreasonable for one person to try to accomplish this, especially, you know, when she's getting demands from all of the board members and the other the other committees. So I would like to see that we revisit the deputy clerk's job description. That would be most advantageous for the village. Try to select somebody. I'll put a time frame on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not to stretch it out, but put a time frame on it, and then make a selection if there is someone that's willing to do, you know, the task. Bob, you got any comment?
No, I'm just, you know, I just want to help Missy out. I want to see her be successful. So whatever we need to do to make that happen,
okay,
and get stuff in a timely manner, then that's what we need to do.
I know when I was doing the water report, when the state changed all their new templates and stuff, I mean, I had Missy going for 2 weeks straight trying to get a water report approved before the billing of the water bill to save the village money for an additional mailing. So, I mean, how many times was I on the phone with you? And having you fax me stuff and getting, you know, Excel spreadsheets made for me to fit the state's requirements. So, I mean, I took a lot of time, possibly that, those 2 weeks, and then for this propane tank, having people fax stuff. So sometimes it gets hectic. And she doesn't ever say no to me. She always says, okay. So, I mean, I know I've asked a lot for her since February for the report.
So I will offer again my assistance in helping Missy to follow these guidelines. I mean, I just think
It's not your responsibility. That's why we have a deputy.
I understand that, but I want to help Missy to get this along. I mean, I think it's very helpful to me to get stuff in a timely manner because we don't have to review it. I will do whatever she needs to help try to follow this. In the interim, till we get
okay,
a deputy clerk,
all right.
I'm saying I will help her.
I just don't want you to miss the point. You know, we need another person.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need someone like yourself because you've already got a lot of responsibilities.
And
okay?
I understand.
You don't need to take on any more responsibility.
I'm just saying in the interim till a clerk, deputy clerk, is hired, I will certainly assist whatever needs
to be done. Okay.
So, Missy, could you just email that vacancy announcement you have to the board? Thank you.
Any other comments on the meeting policies and procedures? If not, we'll move on to the Cumberland Farms project review. I believe Dave.
Well,
yeah.
To interrupt. Were you just saying to implement this when the clerk comes on, or what about us? These are our responsibilities. This should be implemented.
We can do the whole thing in one shot. You know, everybody's adult up here, and everybody knows what they've got to do as far as that.
Right.
You know, let's just when we bring somebody on board, we'll just make the resolution for the entire thing, or approve the whole thing. Because when you approve some of those things, some of the stuff still has to be filtered through the clerk, okay, for distribution, on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
It's better to have two people than one person. Sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No, that's
sorry.
Okay. Does that mean I can sit up here for a while or no?
Yes, you can.
Another 2 months.
That's 2 months. I don't know. Let me talk about Cumberland Farms, and I think people are more or less entirely familiar with it, but I'll just lay it out a bit. Cumberland Farms wanted to put up a new project, and the problem was their project needed variances for height, setback, area, and other things, which they did. They filed an application for variances. They went through. There was a hearing. And they modified their project to cure the height problem. And they were looking for three variances. The only thing that was left was the problem was that the enhanced footprint of the building put them too close to the edge, not adequate setback. So what they're proposing to do for that is to I don't know. Have people seen the survey of what they're proposing to do? Has everybody seen that survey? Okay. What they're proposing to do is buy, this is going to be weird, like hand puppets. I mean, the
they're right next to the Legion post, which has kind of a square lot that is in non-conformance with pretty much every piece of the zoning ordinance that there is. And the reason it's permitted to be in non-conformance is that it was in existence, the lot was in existence, and the building was in existence when the zoning law was enacted. So if you've got a building that's in place when a law is enacted, it's an existing non-conforming use, they're entitled to do that. So what the plan was, maybe if I can sort of sketch it out here, was, let's say this is their lot. It isn't.
Is that a sketch over there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
There's a plot right there.
Oh, okay.
Is it big?
I have the drawing.
Yeah. No. Oh,
okay. Full-size drawing.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it. Okay. So what... Okay, so what they're planning, what Cumberland Farms proposed to do is, here's the existing lot for the Legion, and what they propose to do is do a land swap. They will buy this triangular piece of land and a little more, okay, right here. So that solves Cumberland Farms' setback problem. And they will exchange that with an additional piece over here of exactly the same square footage. So they're buying 424 square feet here, which solves their setback problem, adding another 424 square feet back here. Now, as it exists right now, this building is in violation of the setback requirement on this side, and also on this side, because this is a comparatively tall building, it's more than 20 feet tall, and also in violation of the setback requirements here. If that exchange goes forward, it actually cures their problem in the rear. This is not affected. So the question then becomes, what if anything does the Legion have to do in terms of getting approval of this exchange? And the problem is that this building is basically, or the Legion as it presently exists, is in total nonconformance because it existed when the zoning was enacted. But there's a section of our law, if I can find it, that says this, and I'll just read you the relevant space. And this is prospective. This means into the future. No building or structure shall be hereafter erected, nor shall any lot, yard, lot with open space, blah, 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 be encroached upon or reduced in any manner not in conformity with the lot area per family, lot coverage, open space, and building bulk regulations, yard requirements. So that's what I was referring to there. In other words, what this section seems to say is that even if you have a non-conforming lot, you can't change it or reduce it without some sort of lot line approval by the board, okay? So it's not a use variance, it's nothing, I don't think it's anything that major, and I think if you have a situation like this where this lot is already so much, it's got a lot of equities towards allowing it to happen, I mean, it's not up to me to do it, but you're actually making it to some extent more of a conforming lot because in the rear you're making it bigger, which is actually more important because that's the rear entrance. So I think that's what's got to happen. I think it's now, and I would imagine I'll convey this to the attorney for the Cumberland Farms because I would imagine, you know, since it's their project, they're probably going to pick up the dime for doing this to make this fairly modest application about this lot line adjustment. There's a separate section that prohibits it from, well, I don't get into that too much, but it's already so much in violation. You're actually making it more in violation in one place and more in violation on the triangle side and less in violation on the rear side. So that's what it is. But I think they have to at least, the Legion would have to make that application. And I think that's where it is. I don't think it's ever going to come up to the board here. In other words, it's not going to be our decision. It's the decision of our, you know, Gary Ziegler, if he agrees with me, and I think he will. And then, you know, it's basically a lot line adjustment between the two lots. I think there are a lot of equities in favor of it, but I'm not the board making that decision.
So they need a variance.
Yeah, but it's not a variance exactly. It's more like a lot adjustment. I'm not sure.
As I understood from the meeting that they had here with the planning board in Cumberland, is the planning board gave a conditional approval
Right.
For the, and Tom, I believe, signed the lot line adjustment that came in. I think Stephanie brought in all the...
That already been done?
I believe it has been done.
Okay, I'm not sure it has been done.
You know? I know that Tom had the Mylar and all the copies for the lot line.
But I'm not sure they got it, approved in their process.
The planning board conditionally approved it based pending your decision.
Okay.
Right.
If they need a variance for that five.
Okay. Did they call it a variance or just a lot line?
Whatever.
Well, they conditionally approved it.
Yeah.
Based on your decision whether Cumberland needs to come back for the variance.
Yeah.
But Tom was moving forward with the lot line as a separate issue.
And the question is that, are they going to need to have a separate meeting about that? Is that what they're saying? Or if I give them an opinion?
They're looking for your opinion.
Okay.
Do they have to go back to the zoning board for a variance?
From what I see here, I think there is some need to, but I'm not sure they have to go back to the zoning board to do it. In other words, it's basically a lot line adjustment.
That's the planning board, and they've handled that. But they're specifically talking about the variance for the width between.
And I think they will have to get that approved, because if the problem is that you've got this sort of, it seems sort of minor, but the thing is you've got this sort of very broad language in here that says no building or structure, blah, 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 and no, nor shall any lot, yard, blah, 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 or, be encroached upon or reduced in any manner not in conformity with the open space and yard requirements.
Okay,
so it's reducing it, so it seems to me you got to ask somebody.
So then we need to go back to the zoning board.
Yeah.
And
when we went through the zoning board already.
You did.
The whole thing was to do the property swap.
Mm-hmm.
So that it wasn't an issue with the lot size.
It's not an issue with the lot size.
The lot size.
It's the side yard and rear yard issue. It's a side yard and rear yard issue. The lot size, the swap, took care of that. Lot size is exactly the same size as it started out with, so there's no issue there. But by bringing the side yard in closer to the building, it encroaches and makes the property less conforming. Yeah, in other words, it seems... The problem is you got this blanket thing. We have this blanket thing in our code that just says, no, you can't do it. You just can't do it. Even on a prior, I know the equities seem strange because you've got this, the Legion is already non-conforming in every way there is. You know what I'm saying? Lot size, setback, distance from the back, distance from the side. It's totally non-conforming. So, I mean, you sort of think, well, what's the, 424 feet, what's the difference? The problem is the code has a very strong prohibition about doing that in any way. I mean, I'm not trying to make people's lives more difficult or make it more arduous, okay? And I talked to Stephanie today, and I told her I'd give her a call tomorrow and just tell her where we are, because I know she's heading out of town tomorrow or something like that. She wants to know tomorrow morning. So I told her I would call her and tell her that's sort of where I think we ought to be. So...
Okay, Dave.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is the Survey Smith quote.
Is this related to Alter Alley?
No,
that's
not.
I didn't want to get public with that.
Survey Smith quote. We purchased the Bristol property quite some time ago and decided that we would subdivide it to make at least one, meet the code, at least an acre or half acre, buildable and sell that, and then look at the rest of the property, which, as we discussed earlier, was deemed wetland. Tom Snow went out and marked it properly. But we also thought the properties on Fairview were kind of encroaching on the Bristol property, so we asked Ray just to confirm his... dollar figure, we're going to draft a letter to the residents on Fairview and ask if they were interested in purchasing any property. And if it is, this is the cost that it would be for Ray to survey. And then we'd have to come up with an amount for the parcel for the purchase price. So we already passed a resolution to go with Ray for the subdivision, and I just wanted Ray to come in and confirm his quote so we could have this for the letter to the residents, which I'll be drafting and sharing with the board for your comments and edits.
The only thing I have here is it says cost per adjusted lot line of $400.
Mm-hmm.
So can somebody explain that to me? I mean, is there additional?
So is all the property, if in fact we just have it surveyed with two parcels, one to sell and the rest all stay part of the village, we have a quote of 20, what was that, guys?
$2,500.
Okay.
This $400 would be, we'll say, 24 Fairview Avenue wanted to purchase property.
They would
have to incur this cost for Ray to do more work to divvy it up.
Okay. All right.
And this would be charged to the person buying
it? To the person, yes. That's why I wanted to have the quote so this could go with the letter if they so choose to purchase the property.
Okay. Thank you. Next on the agenda is...
What did you do with the Cumberland Farms thing? What action did you do?
They have to go back and resubmit for a variance to the zoning board.
Oh, okay.
Is it called a variance?
It's a variance.
Yeah, that's what they'll call it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not really a board decision. I'm just sort of laying out what it is.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is the Alter Alley survey.
I sent an email to everybody. I'm not sure if I sent it to you about mine. Okay, well, that's because I have you on my assistant, but I was trying to get that. But I had told you about the survey, or I knew. I sent him a fax with a picture, you know, the tax map picture of Alter Alley, circling what we want to do, set it out. And I gave everybody a number. I emailed out a number that I don't think we should be disclosing here. But I think I talked to Lori, and I think she has somebody else. If you have other people that you're interested in, I've got a fax that I sent to this gentleman. I'll just change the name. You know what I'm saying? So everybody gets the same information.
Right.
This is what we want to do. So if you got other people.
We just have one other.
Okay. Is that this Survey Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is he in the book? Is she in the book?
If you have that document, could you give it over to Missy, and she can email that out to Ray?
Yeah.
Thanks.
All set then?
Yep.
Next on the agenda is a new business, the Nassau Baseball Parade.
I gave the board a copy of it. Nassau Baseball Parade handed an application to have the parade for May 3rd. I gave it to the police department. It did receive approval from Tom Jones, so they're looking for approval from the board.
Do we need to make a resolution?
Do we or don't we? I'd make one.
Yeah?
I'll make a motion. We grant the permit.
Second.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed.
Can I just mention something? I thought I saw some correspondence. They were looking for us to place an ad in the program.
Actually, yes.
I'd like to place an ad in there.
I did get the approval on that. I asked Shirley about it. They're supposed to be sending me what we previously had in there, and I haven't received it yet. So when I get it, I'll pass it around.
We do have one in the old file. I think there's an ad that we have, an old ad.
Yeah, she was going to email me what they currently have. And then I'll pass it around.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the emergency access system.
speaking of Cumberland Farms, at one of the zoning board meetings held to review their proposed project, I had the chance to discuss with Chief Rich Elder and our CEO, Gary Ziegler, about rapid emergency access systems that are used by emergency services personnel to gain access to buildings and other structures in the event that, you know, there's an emergency, without having to break the door down or bust through a window or do other damage like that. These systems are commonly referred to as Knox boxes, but that's a proprietary name. It's the most common one. But basically what it is, it's a locked box that's outside the structure. Bob, I'm sure you're familiar with this.
Yes.
They hold a key to get into the structure. The key is secured through it's a master key that only the emergency personnel have access to it, you know, when it gets activated, a certain person is identified. So it's this sort of thing. Now,
The reason I bring this up here is because Rich Elder was telling me that he's currently working with the town of Nassau to draft a law that would require all commercial properties to have one of these, or to get one within a certain period of time. And town of Scodek actually did this. Dave, maybe you were the attorney.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
About 7 or 8 years ago. So I asked Gary and I asked Rich when we were talking. I said, well, how would that affect us, the village? And they said it wouldn't have any effect on us. We would, the law wouldn't affect us. So what I thought made sense, since if Scodek had a law and Nassau had a law, well, we're both in Scodek and Nassau, why don't we have the law too? So that's just common, it's just a common thing. Basically, I want you all to consider, and I, Missy gave you a copy of Scodek's law, what it would entail, but basically that would have that same sort of provision for commercial properties in the village. Now, some folks might, you know, there's pros and cons to this. There's an expense that goes along with it, but at the same time, the first time you save a door or window from getting knocked in, you've probably paid for it. You know, there's also other places in the village where I know Rich Elder has keys, for example, to the senior housing, but there's not really security. Not anybody, but you could have access to those keys without necessarily knowing who had access to those keys, so things can happen like that, where you could get into properties without having an idea of who it was. This sort of system would fix that.
Yeah, can I just try to work? So basically what happens is in the fire truck or in the ambulances, there's a box. And when we pull up on the scene, we code into the dispatcher and tell them that we've arrived. They send a signal to the box that opens it. So in the box, we have a key and that opens the box outside the building. So the only time we get access, the emergency services personnel get access to it under this Knox box system, is when there's a call from a structure with a Knox box system in place. When you call arriving, they will send a signal that will open the box so that you can get access to the box on the outside wall. So the box on the outside wall should have keys in it that open any of the doors that might be locked, so that firefighters can gain access quickly and don't have to do any damage. So that's the purpose of it. And it is very secure when it's used properly. I mean, you know. So.
Also, for larger structures, you can also have sort of a floor plan within the box too, so that, you know, if the folks aren't familiar with the floor plan, they could figure out what it is before having to go in there. It's just safer for everybody. So I just think it makes a lot of sense for us to at least consider it.
Kind of expense are we looking at?
It's not a customer.
Yeah, I'm...
Is this the expense placed on the business owner?
The business owner would actually buy the box, and I think they're less than $500. You know, and they mount them on the outside of the building, and... I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they're all key to life, though, so that, you know, when our box opens up, we don't have to fumble through keys to find out which one fits it.
Now, is that an expense to the fire department to get that?
Or? No, it's not. We're already set up for it.
Okay, all right.
And there must be some sort of ongoing charge so they can keep those currents, for those signals current, right, don't you think?
Well, that goes back to Rensselaer County.
Oh, okay, so it's through the Rensselaer County.
Yeah.
It's not through...
No,
not through back through Knox where they have to be the ones that.
No, okay. So when you go back, when you put this box out on there, you'll register with the county that there's one at your location. So if there was a call to the village hall, and we'd have a lockbox. When it came up on their screen, that it would show that there's a lockbox at this location. So when we got here, they would open our box, and then we could get into their box. So.
So, Rich Elder is—he's taking the lead on this
with the town. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, I would, depending if we decide to go anywhere with this, I would like Rich to come in and give a demonstration to us or tell us more about it. So.
Okay. Next on the new business is the DPW equipment purchase.
Hi, Tony and Jay received quotes for a chop saw, a mower, and a trench box. I provided the copies for the saw and plan to make that purchase using funds from this fiscal year. I'll give you the mower information on that, and I just want to talk with Bob and Tony and look over the trench boxes to make sure we're comparing apples to apples. But I think Tony and Jay have recommended their selection for the saw and mower.
Okay.
I think the trench boxes is just was the showing stuff, right? Mm-hmm. What was included with the trench boxes, I think?
Well, there was so many items additional. Each person just kept adding additional items, and it wasn't, you know, some were 36-inch spreaders, some were 48-inch, some were a set of four, some were a set of three.
For the width, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, when you look at all the prices, and then the other concern Tony had would be the weight of it.
Mm-hmm.
One was 900 pounds.
Yeah.
And then there was one that was 335. So Tony had a concern with a heavier box not being able to.
Who was the company that said that thing to?
AJ.
So if I call Tony tomorrow and ask him if to call AJ, is it AJV or something?
AJ Vale.
Yeah, to call him and say if we rent it from him for the time period, do they deliver? Because that was the big
thing. That's what I asked Tony, you know. Are they open on a, you know, 2 a.m. when you get the phone call?
Yeah.
And he didn't know, so.
Well, you can't rent it, you know, and keep it on location?
He didn't know.
Okay.
Tony didn't know. All he said is he knew that they sell used ones for $1,000 less, and that they do rent them. And I don't know their rental policy.
You want me to call him tomorrow, have him fax the rental policy or whatever?
I'll call them myself and just ask them what their policy is and see how that goes.
Okay. Last on the new business is the NICOM training, May 4th through the 6th.
I would like to go to that. Up at the Guinean, I'll be driving back and forth. I won't be staying.
Okay. Anybody else going?
I may go a day or so. I'm not sure yet.
Oh, it's not a, it's the...
It's Sunday, Tuesday.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but I don't know how many days I'll
Okay.
So
there's actual training on Sunday?
Yeah. Starts at 2 in the afternoon.
Oh. Okay. Cost?
I didn't know it.
Yeah, it was, you had to go through a bunch of... I want to say it was $389 for registration.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the whole thing.
For the whole thing, right.
Yeah, I'll look at that.
Okay. Seeing that there's no further new business, floor is open to public comment. John, please.
How did they get out with Tremont Drive with a water problem? Ain't going anywhere with that?
Tremont Drive.
Johnny Catholic Church?
Oh, we haven't got back yet, have we? We were waiting for warmer weather.
Yeah.
It's still not warm enough, though, is it?
Well, the snow's gone. It might be. We should call it.
Yes, we'll coordinate. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, John. Yes.
Concerning the policy and procedures, I recall correctly when I was a water commissioner, telling me give me an accounting of water usage every month. It's a charted out thing. He had to put it on a daily file anyhow, and so that was reported with the meeting and. Any coliform tests that were done for the month. Those are the two things that were standard with the report, so I don't see what the big deal is about continuing that. That's more. And the other thing is with the Knox boxes, my whole experience with that, although the new kind seems to be, it's more electronic. The old kind was the key to get to the key. The fire trucks would have the key in it. They're expensive. The systems are expensive. I think if you're going to do it for commercial properties, that you want to define what types of commercial properties you want to deal with, you want to have it installed, because you know, small mom-and-pop places are going to have a problem with that price. It also works very well for multifamily if you have master key facilities for fire, especially for fire purposes, just to throw that out. So if you're going to be a commercial, you may also want to include multifamily that has, you know, more than four units or something.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Josh.
Speaking as a citizen about this Cumberland Farms project, this has been a somewhat controversial kind of drawn-out process, and I think the zoning board, the planning board, the village board should be commended for their professionalism and for sticking to the zoning and the village code throughout the process. That being said, I think by my count, the applicant probably will have been here 9 times by the time this project is done. And I think it would be helpful to maybe review our process when this is all said and done and look for ways that maybe we could improve the way we interact with the applicants and try to shave that down a little bit. You know, I know some of those visits were fall on the shoulders of the applicant in this particular instance, but I have to believe that there's ways that we could reduce those numbers of those visits just by just kind of being more familiar with our process ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if we're going to invite the right kind of business to invest in Nassau, given the challenges of our existing commercial district and the number of buildings that don't conform, I think it's likely that something like this would come up again if someone else actually wanted to apply for a development project. And we would likely be facing the same challenges. So, the right kind of development that, you know, it's not that we want corporations to come bowl us over. I think we demonstrated we're willing to work as long as they're willing to meet the requirements of our zoning. So I would just offer that, you know, maybe when this is all said and done, the zoning board and the planning board and select people from the village board should sit down and maybe see if we can find ways that we can either improve our procedure or review our procedure and see if we just maybe didn't do things correctly. And one other separate subject regarding the paving project on Route 20, the Elm Street issues that you brought tonight, Guy. I think anywhere where we can have an offer or get something fixed or replaced in the short term, we should definitely jump on that. However, I think it's important to not look at these issues in isolation if we can. I know that the traffic, from my opinion, the traffic flow, the pattern of that whole intersection, Route 203, Chatham Street, Malden Street, Elm Street, you know, it's a problem. And if there's ever a time when we're not going to get these things fixed in the short term, I think we should build on our growing relationship with DOT and certainly start a conversation, or if one hasn't been started, continue a conversation about looking at the bigger picture of that entire intersection instead of just dealing with these things piecemeal and playing band-aids that are going to eventually need to be, you know, revisited again and again in the future. I understand that there's tremendous cost involved with this and certainly political aspects of it too, but, envisioning the way it could be, I think that could be a really great intersection and could certainly help the village a lot more if it was redesigned.
Okay. Thanks, Josh. Anyone else?
A couple of meetings ago they mentioned the road being paved and they were concerned about the catch basins.
Yes.
I can't remember who brought it up to say it's nice that they're going to come through and pave, but the catch basins should be addressed so that we don't end up with a road with catch basins that are not adequate for new blacktop.
The understanding that I have right now from, I can't remember the regional director, is that the action from the state is that what they're going to do is they're going to mill and pave just the road. They're not going to address the drainage system at all. The catch basin.
That's one of the issues throughout the village we've always had problems with.
Right.
So that's something the village will have to take care of before it's paved, or would you do that after it's paved?
Well, we don't have a choice because the contract right now is in place.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know how that went.
And it's already. It's kind of a band-aid, and according to the DOT, they said that what they're going to do. It's supposed to last for 10 years. Seeing is believing.
It's not going to make anything worse. It's not going to make anything worse.
That was brought up a couple meetings ago, and it was left in the air, so I didn't know until today. He said that they were starting in June, which way that went.
But as Josh stated, it's going to take a considerable amount of money and engineering support to redefine the the entire drainage system, which could be many, many years down the road. And again, it'll be fought someplace, somewhere, somehow, of who's responsible to do that.
I wondered who's responsible for Tremont and Phillips with that whole mess. You know, people have left the houses up there because of the water. The one house is for sale. You know, I mean, those people, how many times does it have to flood before it's corrected?
Well, Guy, we had a meeting.
Through there years ago.
We had a meeting.
Pardon?
We had a meeting probably 3 or 4 months ago. Guy and I and Dick attended with the representatives of the county, and we agreed to. We know that there's a problem, but we agreed to wait until the warmer weather.
Oh, good.
And we're going to revisit that. And that's the question that John brought up. So we're going to take a look at that again.
Charlie?
Yes.
I think the Hudson River, when they mill, they got to mill anyway because of the height of the curve. Otherwise, it's blacked up, you're higher than the curve. They got to mill it anyway.
I don't
think it's going to drain, but we're fine as far as Route 20 goes. Everything will run toward the catch basis because they're a good company.
Okay. We don't have any resolutions?
No.
Okay. Next on the agenda, we'll order the bills. Bills number 367 through number 371 in the amount of $3,598.74 in the general fund and $293.14 in the water fund.
I'll make a motion.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.